We're on Daf Samach Tes Samad Aleph. We're at the two dots, which is approximately, I would say, 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. Omar Mar. We learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beloshan Acheres. He has a slightly different version of Rabbi Gamliel's speech to his children. And here's the content of that second version. Maharu v'asu tzarchechem b'movui ad shelo techshach. Make sure that you take whatever you need for Shabbos in the movui. Take it out into the movui before Shabbos. V'yesar, because if you wait until it gets dark out, alechem, the fact that the tzedoki lives in that chotzer, that mavui, is going to generate an isur. You won't be able to take anything out of the house into the mavui. So whatever you need for Shabbos, make sure you take it out into the mavui from your house before Shabbos. Alma, we see nochrihu. The status of a tzedoki is that of a nochri. As we discussed yesterday in great detail, there are two ways of understanding how the halachic status of a tzedoki should be defined. One way is to say, well, he's refuses to accept Torah Shebaal Peh, which means he's going to violate all the drabonim of Shabbos. That makes him into a mumar lichol Shabbos, and his status is that of a goy. The other approach was to say no, that he still is Jewish, and he would not be mevatel, therefore our possibility of using the mavui, and he in fact could be mevatel his reshus to the other members of the mavui. So the Gemara asks for Anan Ad Shelo Yotzi Tnan. In our Mishnah, back on Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, we have a quote of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of the father of Rabbi Gamliel, and he said to his children, according to that version, that they should do anything that they have to do in the Mavui before Ad Kodem Shiyotzi, meaning before the Tzduki goes out of his house and he generates an Isur. In other words, as long as the Tzduki has not used or benefited from this Mavui, it seems that it's fine. It's the Tzduki himself had the status of a Jew. He was Mevatel, his Rishus. And until he goes out and makes a bittel on his bittel, meaning and he uses the chotzer or the mavui, the original bittel of the tzedoki is still valid, and therefore you're allowed to carry. But we see clearly from our version of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that the status of a tzedoki is that of Yisrael. Amo, the Gemara answers, maybe we can reinterpret the Mishnah. And when, according to the Mishnah's version, Rabbi Gamliel told his children that they should quickly do their tzrachim, in the Mavui is Ad Shelo Yotzi Hayom. We have to reinterpret the Mishnah. We understood when the Mishnah says Kodem Shiyotzi means it's before the Tzedoki will take out from his house his utensils and put them into the Mavui and be Mevatel his Bittul. No, no, no. Let's reinterpret that. It means when it says Shiyamaru Lasso Tzoche B'movui Ad, not Ad Shelo Yotzi Ha Tzedoki, until he takes something out, but Ad Shelo Yotzi Ha Yom. In other words, until Erev Shabbos is gone. Once Erev Shabbos is passed and Shabbos is entered, they won't be able to use the Movui because the bittul reshus of the tzedoki is not meaningful because the tzedoki has the status of a goy. So it wasn't that he was instructing his children to use the mavui before the tzedoki will be mevatel his bittul, meaning that he's a Jew, but rather take out what you have to take out before Shabbos because the tzedoki is a goy, and his bittul reshus is not meaningful and not valid, and therefore you will not be allowed to carry from the reshus of Rabin, from the bias, out to the mavui. Ibai Seima, the Gemara offers a second alternative teretz to the stira. And that is lo kasha kan b'mumar lechal shabosos b'tzina. Kan b'mumar lechal shabosos b'farhesi. The Gemara says that there are actually two categories of a tztoki. There's one tztoki who will be embarrassed in front of other Jews, and he will not be so bold as to violate the Shabbos publicly. His status is that of Yisrael. He could be Mevatel's Rishus. And therefore, the father Rav Gamliel told his children they should quickly do whatever they want to do in the Mavli before the tztoki will be Mevatel his Bittel. But Khan in the Braisa, we're talking about it, Stoki Mumar Lechal Shabbos and Parhesi, he's not even embarrassed publicly to violate the Shabbos. That's how brazen he is. And the status of a Mechal Shabbos and Parhesi, as we'll see in the next Sugya, is that of a guy. And therefore, his Bittul Rishus is not meaningful. And therefore, Rav Gamliel was telling his children they better be very quickly go out into the Mavli before Shabbos, because after Shabbos begins, they won't be able to use the Mavli at all. The guy, insofar as he's a partner in this Mavli, will completely negate any possibility of their making any sort of an Eruv in the Mavli. Keman Azla Hodesanya. We're going to now quote a Braisa, and again we're going to analyze the question of a Mumar, whether he can be Mavatal is Rishus. And the Braisa says the following: Mumar Vigilui Panim Hareza Eno Mavatal Rishus. Again, it's very difficult to interpret this braisa. So the Gemara is going to help us out here, because on our own we're in trouble here. What is this gilui panim? Gilui panim means he's a chutzpedik, and he cannot be mevatel's rishus. So the Gemara explains this braisa is gilui panim is mumar havi. I mean, what's the difference? If he's a chutzpedik, it means he's a mumar. Ella, but rather, what does the braisa mean? It's an explanation of the word that came before it. That Gili Panim is explaining and describing the Mumar. It's like an adjectival phrase. Mumar b'Gili Panim. Not just that he's a Mumar and he violates the Shabbos publicly, but he does it b'Gili Panim, which means that he does it publicly. He's not embarrassed. He's not in any way inhibited. And his status is that of a god. V'eino yochel avatel rishus. So the Gemara says, Keman ki Rabbi Yehuda. This reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that a mumar lechal Shabbos, bifar hesya, has the status of a goy, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be mevatel his rishus. So here I have a note that I wanted to learn with you. He says, according to what we established in the second answer, explaining Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah, that if he's not a Mumar Lechal Shabbos B'Farhesi, he can be Mevatel his Rishus. And according to Rabbi Meir that we studied yesterday, even a Mumar Lechal Shabbos B'Farhesi could be Mevatel his Rishus, because Rabbi Meir was quoted, if you remember, in the earlier Braisa, that even if he takes something out b'mezid from his house, he could still be mevatel his rishus. So you see that a mumar lechal Shabbos b'farhesi can be mevatel his rishus. And this is all according to Rashi. Rashi interprets machlok shrim Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, as referring to someone who was motzi kodim shebitel. And the question is whether the Mumar Lechal Shabbos can be Mevatel Rishus or not. Tos has a different shita. According to Tosus, we never found that Rabbi Meir argued on the status of a Mumar, whether it's that of a Goy or not. He only argued on the Tzduki, but not about a Mumar. And therefore, according to Tosus, we're going to explain, and this is in the Gaon Yaakov, that when the Gemara says here, Keman ki Rabbi Yehuda, it has in mind the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, which was explained explicitly. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, although we know that a Mumar lechal Shabbos Farhesi is that of a, he has the status of a guy, but he only argues in the case of a tzdoki who's not mechal Shabbos Farhesi. Okay, now we start the following Gemara, and we're going to bring a story first about the din of a mumar as far as Bittul Rishus is concerned. Now, who did Nafek Bechumarta Dimadosha? So there's a person who went out on Shabbos into the Rishus HaRavim with a kind of a seal, a ring seal, a signet. Now, the signet itself, meaning the ring itself, we'll get to the chosem in a minute, is made of wood. And the seal, which has the impression on it, inside the ring, is made of some other substance. Let's say it's made of metal, for example. And this person goes out wearing a signet ring in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and that is a violation of Meleches Hotzah, because although a ring could sometimes be considered a tachshit, which means it's like a malbush, it's not carrying, and a ring is not a masa, but in this case of a ring that has a chosem on it, then it's not a tachshit at all. Again, if it was a tachshit, then the chosem would be made of the same material as the ring. But the chosem is the whole purpose of this ring, and we don't carry this out into Rosh Hashanah. Truth be told, I don't want to confuse us, but there are those who say that this problem with the ring is more of a muktzah shiloh, or perhaps what we call a klisha melachto le'isur. Now, if it's a klisha melachto le'isur, because you use it to sign a document, then it would be mutal letaltel letzarch gufa letzarch makoma. So you might want to move it inside your house or inside your courtyard if it's letzarch gufa letzarch makoma. And that would not be a violation of the Isur tiltel. In any event, we're not sure exactly what the case was, the story was. Was he wearing this ring? In which case, perhaps, we're only dealing with a Isur tiltel of Klisha Matal Isur. Or he's carrying the ring. That seems to be Rabbi Tam's interpretation. And if it's not a Malbush at all in any sense, but it could be that if he would wear it on his finger, according to Rabbeinu Tam at least, it would have a different status. It might not be a violation of the Isur Otzah because it's a Tachshit. But again, it would seem more logical, according to most Rishonim, that we're not dealing with a Tachshit at all because it's made of two different materials, two different substances. Now, he's going out in Rishus HaRabim, this Jew, and came into Chazi Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. He sees Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah should not be confused with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He's in a later generation. He's an Amora. And in any event, the Jew sees Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah, who's walking now in the public area, and Kasie. This is a very famous Gemara. He covers his ring, and he's hoping that Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah, will not see him violate the Isur Otzah b'Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda noticed it, and he saw what happened. Amar declared, Kagon Zeh Mevatel Rishus. He wanted to dramatize that this kind of a Jew does not have the status of a Mumar L'chal Shabbos b'Farhesya. He's embarrassed about his actions, and he covers them. Again, even though he only covered them because he saw the rabbi, but that's enough to indicate that he's embarrassed and he's inhibited by his actions. He doesn't want the rabbi to know about them, and he's no longer in the category of Mumar L'chal Shabbos Farhesia. How does Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah dramatize that? By saying that he can be Vatel Rishus, that if he is a partner in a Chatzer with other Jews, then the Erev could be valid even without him, and he'll be Mevatel Rishus. And this is true even L'Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Mechal Shabbos V'Hesi has the din of a guy, And we cannot be mati the chotzer through bitul rishus because he's a guy and you have to be socher es mekomo, socher mimenu. But here in this case, he does, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that he does not have the status of a guy. Why? Because he's not really a full-fledged Machal Shabbos Mefares. He's embarrassed about it. And I have to tell you that in my youth, I met people who fit this category. You know, they knew that they weren't supposed to be carrying in Rishus HaRabim. We didn't have an Erev at that time in my youth. And when they saw the rabbi, they would, you know, cover it up. I mean, there were others who... I don't even think that they were Machal Shabbos Fries. They just didn't know any better. I mean, you had many people who used to wear a kerchief in their lapel. Do you remember that? Or different kinds of pins. And, you know, they didn't think it was a big deal. There was such ignorance. Amar Rav Huna, Ezu Yisrael Mumar. At what point does a Jew cross all the red lines and his status is that of a Mumar? Zeh Machal Shabbosos Befarhesia. Which is really interesting when you think about it, because a Mumar means that he violates the entire Torah. Here he just violates the Shabbos. It's possible that he's very careful and observant for anything outside the Shabbos. And again, in my youth, we met such individuals. But Shabbos has a special status, and we're going to soon see why. And the violation of the Shabbos, if you're a Mumar, and you're constantly violating the Shabbos. Now, for example, when a person sends a karbon to the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to accept it from a Mumar. Again, this is all going to be later on in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say that we cannot eat from his Shechita. Why? Because once he's a Mumar L'chil Shabbos, he has the status of a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula. And his Yayin, if he has contact with Yayin, becomes Yayin Nesach. There are other dinim, for example, in marriage law, he has the status of Yisrael. And if he marries a Jewish girl, that marriage is valid. As far as Ribbis is concerned, there's a whole discussion, this is Mordechai Masechet Yevamos, are we allowed to lend and demand interest from a Mumar? So the Gemara immediately asks the following question, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Huna and he says, Keman, I don't understand. You have made a statement that doesn't seem to coincide, doesn't seem to be reconcilable with anybody. Iker Rabbi Meir, we have a statement of a position of Rabbi Meir in Masechet Bechoros on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the Omar Choshed L'Davar Echad, Choshed L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Now once a person has violated a Torah law, and it matters not which Torah law, he is now suspect on the entire Torah. We think that if he violates one aver consistently, then I wouldn't trust him at all, says Rabbi Meir. And therefore, if he's a mumar for Chil Shabbos, and you're telling me he's a mumar therefore for Kol Torah Kula, even though he didn't violate the rest of the Torah, then you seem to be implying that that only applies to a mumar l'Chil Shabbos. You singled out Shabbos. Why did you do so? According to Rabbi Meir, afilu bi'echad mikol yisurim shabbat Torah, if he's a boomer to violate any of these surim of the Torah, no matter what they are, it doesn't have to be Shabbos, then he should have the same status of a boomer. Nami, he should also be a boomer called Torah Kula. Ve'i kerabbanon, and if you are reflecting the Shita Rabbanon, ha'amri chashid l'dovrecha lo'avi chashid l'kol Torah Kula, that even though he violates one part of the Torah, it doesn't mean he has any suspicion. You know, we're not suspecting him of being a mumala called Torah Kula. Ad the heavy mumala vodas kochav, with the exception of idolatry. An idol worship is considered a kofar b'kol Torah Kula. Now, it's a little bit interesting that our Gemara, to some extent, shifted its subject. In other words, we were really discussing the status of a Mechal Shabbos before Hesi as far as being a Mumar is concerned. The Gemara, meaning Rav Nachman, I should say, seems to now be crossing a little bit of a gap here, and we're talking about Nemanus. And this seems to be based on a Mishnah in Bechoros, as I mentioned before, Daf Lamed. Chosh al Dover she'eno yochel ladun olav, eno neman lahayit olav. So the issue is whether we can accept testimony from a person, and whether or not he can be a judge on that area of Torah law. And basically, anyone who cannot serve as a judge because we're afraid he might, you know, deviate from the truth, so he's not kosher ladun, he's not believed if he testifies in a court of law about that very same thing. And that's where Rabbi Meir says that it's not that he was chashed on that. Let's say he was caught stealing, so we don't believe him on any testimony of theft, or he can't serve as a judge in monetary law. But even if he violates other Isurim in the Torah, forget about theft. If he's chashed on Echad Midivrei Torah, he's considered chashed l'kol haTorah kula, and we don't trust him. So this Gemara that we're learning now builds on the following assumption, that just like Rabbi Meir holds that if someone violates a certain Isur, Memele is chashid for all of the Isurei Torah, the same din will apply, this is the gap that I was mentioning before, to the din of a Mumah. If he violates publicly one of the various Isurim of the Torah, he has the status of a Mumah. Now, first, it's a two-stage process. First, he has the status of a Mumar for that particular transgression that he violates constantly. And secondly, he now becomes a Mumar, legabi called Dinei Torah. Again, in Yiddish we say Vushtetas. Where did Rabbi Meir make such a statement? Rabbi Meir said he's not trustworthy. Yeah, but the Gemara thinks, what do you mean he's not trustworthy? He can't testify. There must be some sort of halachic status that he has. You can't just say glat in the veld, you know, hanging in the middle of the air. Well, he's possibly atheist. We don't have nemanus. We don't believe him. It must be because he has the status of a mumah. And that's Rav Nachman's assumption when he attacks Rav Huna. Now, there's a tosis in Masechta Chulin Adaf Yudalit that understood without even blinking that according to Rabbi Meir, a mumah laval echad misurei Torah is dino kemumar l'chol haTorah kula. And that means that his shechita is psula. So could you imagine this chumrah of Rabbi Meir? Let's say a person wears shatnez. Heaven forbid, but he wears shatnez. He's not careful about shatnez. I don't know. Maybe he eats certain kinds of fish. I don't know, that are questionable. And such a person, you can't trust his shechita, according to Rabbi Meir. That's the extent of the chumrah of Rabbi Meir. Now, apparently there's a very important tshuva, the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik lived in the 1400s. I think he was Italian, I'm not sure, don't quote me on that. Kalon was his name. Anyway, he understands that according to Rabbi Meir, he does not become a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. He's chashed l'chol haTorah kula. He's not believed. He's not a religious Jew because he consistently violates a certain avera, let be shatnez. And if he's not a religious Jew and he hasn't accepted a commitment to all 613, we cannot trust him in a Jewish court of law. But to say therefore he's a mumar and we can't trust his shechita, we can't rely on his shechita, we can't receive his karbanos, maybe we could... you have to know whether you could rent, lend him berivis, and so that Rabbi Meir never said. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, in one of his comments on the Mishnayos, which is called Tosefes Rabbi Kivega, Tosos Rabbi Kivega, he tries to reconcile this Ma'arik with our Gemara. And he says, Ein kavanas ha-Gemara lomar shebe'emes kach sove Rabbi Meir shedin ha-mumar l'davar echa dino kimumar l'kol ha-Torah kula. Rabbi Meir never meant to say that he has the status of a mumar just because, again, bad enough, but just because he violates one particular avera consistently. But rather, kavanas ha-Gemara, what did Rav Nachman have in mind here? Shafilu im nomar shaladas Rabbi Meir nasig ha-mumar l'kol ha-Torah. Im kein ene muv ma'dua rak b'chil Shabbos omar avhuna dino kemumar l'kol ha-Torah. In other words, without entering into this question as to whether or not Rabbi Meir, in a case of Mumala Dover Echad, would classify him as a Mumala Kolatar Kula, let's leave that on the side. We don't have to even enter into that question. But one thing we see for Rabbi Meir, and that's crystal clear, there's no distinction between Shabbos and other Isurei Torah. So why you, Rav Huna, why do you have the audacity, so to speak, to upgrade Chil Shabbos to a special status, and a person who's Machal Shabbos for Hesia's din is that of a Mumil Kol HaTorah Kula? And again, we don't understand. You know, we don't understand the logic of Rav Huna. Why is he singling out Chil Shabbos? That a Machal Shabbos is considered Al Pi Din as a Mumil Kol HaTorah Kula. Be'emes, he tochein, it's possible, says Rabbi Kivega, she'ein misha sover sh'amumel davarech ha'mumel kol ha'Torah kula. Such a position is non-existent. Nobody holds, not even Rabbi Meir, that if you're a mumer from davarech, you're a mumel kol ha'Torah kula. What we found about Rabbi Meir was he's choshed l'chol ha'Torah kula. That since he's choshed l'davarech, he's choshed l'chol ha'Torah kula, he's not neman, and we don't trust his testimony, and he doesn't have that credibility. But we don't find that, therefore, since he violates one particular Issa, he should have the din of a Mumel called Tarkula, and he should have the status of a Goy, and his Shechit is Psula, his Yayin is Yayin Nessa. That we don't have. And basically, we don't have such a Shechita. We don't know of anyone, says Rabbi Kivega, who maintains that position, that Mumel Adavarechet is a Mumel called Tarkula, you can't eat from his Shechita, he has a din like a Goy. Nobody says that. But the main thrust of Rav Nachman's question here in his objection to Rav Huna is, why do you single out Chil Shabbos? I mean, Rabbi Meir equates the entire Torah, Mumel L'davar Echad, whatever that affair might be, is he has the status of Choshed L'Kol Torah Kula. What's the logic and the justification to pinpoint and single out Chil Shabbos? And if we go with the Rabbanan Shita, then they hold that Choshed L'davar Echad lo avi Choshed L'kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, with all the respect of Huna, although this person is a Machal Shabbos, but that doesn't give him any status vis-a-vis the other 612. Now, the Rabbanan do have one exception, one particular Avera, which is so severe that if you violate that Avera, you get the status of a Mumar, and that's Avodas Kochav. And what Rabbi Meir said with regard to 613, the Chachamim say with regard to one particular singled out from the list of 613. So Rabbi Meir says any violation of any Isur makes you into a Chashud L'Kol Tarkula. And the Rabbanan say, Mapiton, why should he be Chashud L'Kol Tarkula? Let him be Chashud for that area, but not beyond, unless he violates Avodas Kochavim. And if he violates Avodas Kochavim, even if we've never seen him and we don't have any testimony against him that he violates other Isurim, other mitzvahs in the Torah, once he violates Avodas Kochavim, he has the status of a kofer b'kol HaTorah Kula. So again, Rav Huna now is singling out Michal Shabbos b'Farhesi, making him into a mumar. According to Chachamim, a mumar l'davar echad is not a mumar l'kol HaTorah Kula. And the Chacham reject Rabbi Meir's position with the exception of Avodas Kochavim. Now, I already learned this Gemara, but I'm going to make believe I didn't learn the Gemara and see if I can guess what's around the bend. I like to do that. And I'm going to guess that we're going to elevate Chil Shabbos to the status of Avodas Kochavim. So we'll see if I'm right. But we have to wait till Rav Ashi for that. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The words of Rav Huna was said with regard to Litein Rishus Levatel Rishus. Does this individual have the same status as a Jew, and therefore he could be Mavatel's Rishus, to be Matir the Chotzer, and he could be Mavatel his own bittul? All this is if he's a Jew. And here, Rav Huna singled out Chil Shabbos, and anyone who's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia has the din of a mumar as far as bittul Rishus is concerned. So that Rav Huna should be understood in a whole different context. Rav Nachman accused Rav Huna of making statements, bombastic statements, that have implications as far as Shechita is concerned, as far as Yayin Nesach, etc., etc. That's not what Rav Huna had in mind. Rav Huna was focused exclusively on the issue of being Mevatel Yisrael. What's your status, i.e. are you a Yisrael or a Goy, as far as the validity of being Mevatel Yisrael to be Matir the Tiltul and the Chotzer? And here's where Chil Shabbos Bifar Hesya puts you in that very special category of a guy, excluding you from a bittul rishus. Okay, the Sanya, like we saw in a Braisa, Yisrael Mumar Hamashamer Shabboso Bishuk. You have the case of a Jew who in his house he violates the Shabbos. Outside in the marketplace, publicly, he worships the Shabbos. He observes the Shabbos. So he's a Mechal Shabbos Bitzina only in private. It's then the Braisa says Mevatel Rishus. He has the status, a full-fledged status of a Jew as far as Erevin are concerned. And if he shares that Chatzah with other Jews, he can be Mevatel as Rishus, and Yalla, let's go on and make an Erev Chatzeris. Mevatel Rishus. Fine. Now, what about a mumer she'eno meshaber Shabbos b'shuk? Even publicly, he violates the Shabbos. Is eno mevatel rishus? He cannot be included in the category of bittul rishus. Mivnei she'amru chachamim liYisrael notel rishus v'nosen rishus ubenachri ad sheyaskir. A Jew could be mevatel his rishus, and he can mevatel his bittul rishus, but not a nochri. In the case of a nochri, he doesn't have bittul rishus, and the only way we could allow using the chotzer would be ad sheyaskir, if the goy would be agreeable to rent out his rights in the chotzer. But we see clearly here that a mumer l'chal Shabbos v'hesya has a din of a guy as far as Erev is concerned, meaning he's not capable of being Mevatel's Rishus on a legal basis. Now the Braisa continues and explains, Ketzad, what is Bittul Rishus in the case of Yisrael? Omerlo, the Mevatel says to the one who shares that Chatzah with him, or the Mavi with him, Rishusi Knuya Lach. My Rishus is now bequeathed to you. Oh, alternatively, Rishusi Mivutelis Lecha. And this is an Amira which Kana, meaning the Ben HaChotzer who's on the receiving end of this Bittul Rishus, he acquires the Chotzer as if it was his Rishus. V'eino Tzarch Lizkos. And he doesn't need a Maisa Kinyan. And this is something that reflects on what we've said many times, that we're dealing with the different Torahs Kinyanim here in Erev Chatzeres. We're not dealing with the pure universal Torah's Kinyanim that is codified in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpatim requires a Maisa Kinyan or a Kinyan Sudar. All that is unnecessary for Bittul Rishus. We just need a declaration and nothing more.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't get the Bittul, neither one can carry in the Chatzar, correct?
Right. That is correct.
It's better if the observant one is Bittul his Chatzar because he knows his neighbor's going to carry in it, and that would be Osir otherwise?
Again, you have a neighbor who cannot be mevatel his rishus. Let's say we're talking about someone who, even in the shuk in public, violates the Shabbos. So the Raisa says about that person, he cannot be mevatel his rishus. Once he cannot be mevatel his rishus, the only last straw possibility, and that's the only possibility to be matir tiltul in this chutz for anybody. Anybody would be schirus. You know, he has the status of a goy. However, if we're talking about a case of Yisrael who's a mumar litzina, he violates the Shabbos in private but not in public, then his status still remains that of a Jew, and he makes it impossible for us to create an erev chatzeres, but he can be mevatel his rishus. Now, notice the double language here. It says Yisrael notel rishus. V'nosein rishus. What's that double language? So he says, nosein rishus u'mevatel rishus, and that girsa appears in the Tosefta, it appears in a Masechta Avodah Zarah, Masechta Chulin, that's the Rif's girsa, that's the Rambam's girsa. So everybody seems to have this text of Yisrael, notel rishus v'nosein rishus. So he quotes here the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam says, Nesinas rishus, hu sheyase eruv me erev Shabbos. So again, I don't know exactly semantically how you fit this into the double language here, but I think somehow magically the Rambam holds that notel rishus means being mevatel is rishus. Nosein rishus means to join the eruv. And the Rambam then says, no, this cannot be. It can, you know, even if I grant you that, you know, that notel refers to being mevatel, but it cannot be that nesina refers to eruv, because we're talking about a machal Shabbos bitzina, and we've already seen in the case of Itztoki, for example, who's machal Shabbos bitzina. Remember, we had the two categories of Itztoki. That he can be mevatel as rishus, but he cannot be part of the eruv, and that's based on the principle that we had in the Mishnah earlier: Mishena moda be'eruv and yochel li'arev. So the Rambam, and again, this is Eisen. You know, there's no way you could really disagree with the Rambam on this. The Rambam has closed the door here on interpreting this. This brisa as referring in Nesinas Rishus as referring to an eruv. So once again, it's very confusing. What does this mean when the brisa says notel rishus, the nosein rishus? So he says the following. There's a Rashi in Chulin that seems to indicate that a Machal Shabbos Bitsina Yochol Yarev. He could be part of the Eruv. So if that be the case, then no sein reshus means bittel, and no sein reshus, no tel reshus means bittel, and no sein reshus would mean that he's part of the eruv. That's Rashi in Chulin, but Rashi in Avodah Zarah, a number of different Rashis, he says that no sein reshus is bittel, and there are two kinds of bittel. There's mevata reshus ayidei loshen bittel, and then there's no sein reshus ayidei loshen hakna. So either I could say I hereby am being mevata my reshus, make that declaration, or I can say I'm hereby bequeathing to you, I'm transferring ownership, and you're going to acquire this chatzit. Now, at the end of this note, he quotes a Tosus Rid that Nosein Rishus and Mevatel Rishus is the same, and Bittel is sometimes called Nosein. And sometimes it's called Mevata. So no same is just another language for Bittel, and it's all the same. But I'm just pointing out as we go on that there is a possibility, as wild as it seems so far out, based on a Rashi and Chulin, that Enochinami, a Mumar Lechil Shabbos Bitsina, not only can he be mevatel his reshus, but he can even participate in the eruv. And you and I would have said he's certainly an eino moda be'eruv. So again, I'm very confused, but the idea seems to be, again, I'm afraid to even utter these words, that if a person is embarrassed publicly by Chil Shabbos, and therefore he is inhibited in the shuk, he won't be mechal Shabbos, then maybe we could say that to some extent he does accept, he does recognize the Shabbos. And once he acknowledges Shabbos, then he doesn't fit in the categorization, the description of Eino Moda Be'eruv. Again, it could be that in the case of a Tzedoki, for sure, he denies Torah Sheval Peh. He's definitely Eino Moda Be'eruv. But if you have a regular Yisrael who's not at Stoki, unfortunately he's Mechal Shabbos privately, but publicly he will not violate the Shabbos. And in such a case, it could be, according to Rashi Chulin, that's why he could be part of the Eruv. Because by non-Chil Shabbos publicly, he is implicitly, tacitly admitting that he acknowledges the existence of Shabbos. Again, you could have been more cynical about it and say the reason why he doesn't violate Shabbos publicly is because he's embarrassed to do so, or he's afraid of, you know, the repercussions in terms of his status in the community. But we're saying it the other way around. On the contrary, the fact that he will not violate the Shabbos publicly, that puts him into a category of Yisrael. And he might even be able not only to be mevatel his reshus, but also to contribute and participate in the eruv. I wouldn't say that that's the broadly accepted view, but there may be such a sheet in Rishon. Now, we're going back to Rav Huna. Rav Nachbar Yitzchak offered one approach in which Rav Huna, when he made his statement about Mechal Shabbos for Hesi, he was limited to the halacha of Bittul Rishus. Rav Ashi Omar, an alternative understanding of the intention of Rav Huna regarding Mechal Shabbos for Hesi, that he's a mumala called a Torah Kula, is Haitanahu. Rav Huna is reflected or stands on the shoulders of a Tana, and that's the Tana who maintains that Chamira Olei Shabbos Kavod Azor, that Chil Shabbos in the mind, in the attitude of this Tana, is as chamur, it's as severe of a violation as Avodah Zarah itself. And therefore, even Rav Huna, although he agrees with the Shitas Chachamim against Rabbi Meir, and Choshel Dovrechad mi Isurei Torah is not a Choshel al Kol Torkula, but nevertheless, a Mumal Chal Shabbos Vahesya is a Mumal for Kol Torkula, just like Chachamim say that a Mumal Avor Zora is considered a Mumar L'Kol Torkula. And just like an Oved Avodah Zorah is kofir by Kodesh Baruch Hu, so too a Machal Shabbos is kofir b'maisav shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and he is testifying falsely that HaKodesh Baruch Hu did not rest at the completion of Maisav Reishis, and that makes him into a kofir b'maisav shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Now, we're speaking about a Machal Shabbos Bifar Hesya. And it's a little bit odd, because in the case of Avodah Zorah, we're operating here, Rav Ashi, with an analogy, an equation between violating Avodah Zorah and being Machal Shabbos. But yet, there is a major discrepancy, because we don't find in Avodah Zorah that makes a difference as to whether he bowed down to this idol publicly or he did it in the privacy of his own room. So that a mechalel avodah zara is considered a mumar lekal mumal avodah zara is a mumar lekal tarkul, despite the fact that his avodah zara was in sinna. Masha enkein, in the case of chil shabbos, we're only going to upgrade his status to a kofar b'kol tarkul like the oved avodah zara if he does it publicly. And honestly, it would seem to me, in my very limited understanding, that Rav Ashi is dealing with two different halachos, or shall we say two different sources for generating mumus. One is the chumras havera, and the other is, shall we say, the desecration of the bris. In the case of Avodah Zorah, we're dealing with the Chumras HaVera. And the severity of Avodah Zorah as a kfira is so severe that it makes no difference whether it's public or private. In the case of Chil Shabbos, we're dealing with Edus Sheker. We're dealing with a desecration of the Shabbos, which is indirectly, or in its broadest interpretation, a denial of God's creative process. That's all a kind of a chadgadya of sorts. You know, why are you doing melacha? It's the seventh day, and the answer is, because I don't believe in this, and then you get to, I don't believe in creation. There, it's not the Chumras HaVera. In fact, although I'm not going to deny that Chil Shabbos is a capital crime, but it's not on the same level as Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is one of the big three. And we will not violate Avodah Zorah under any circumstance. Masha'en came Shabbos. I mean, we learned Masech the Shabbos, and we had many, many occasions in which we had to violate the Shabbos. So it's not the Chumras Maisa Avera. Not the Chumras Avera that's Mechaif. I would say it's the Bris. You know, this is a covenant between the Almighty and the Jewish people. Osi beini ubeinechem. And by violating the Shabbos, you're in a sense removing yourself from that bris. I mean, to some extent, you're taking yourself out of the pale, out of the community of Israel, which is a covenantal community, and the clincher of that covenant is going to be Shabbos. And here's where we differentiate between Sina and Farhesi. As far as Chumras HaVeira is concerned, what difference it make whether he plows his field publicly or maybe has a private, you know, little strip of land nobody sees, it's surrounded by machitzas and he plows the land. What difference it make? But the difference is that when the nature of the desecration is public, that's pogea in the bris itself. He's almost like undermining that relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, which is expressed by Shabbos. And if that be the case, perhaps we have a new appreciation for the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah in the case of the Jew who covers the ring. In other words, he knows that wearing this ring out in the public marketplace is prohibited, and he covers it in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. That act of covering it is enough to remove the chil abris element. He still is hanging on, maybe by the skin of his teeth, to the bris through the embarrassment in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. Again, as far as the chumas aver is concerned, what difference make whether he puts his hand over the ring or he exposes the ring? It's the same identical chumas aver. But if you're talking about bris, then if he's inhibited in that way, then it could be that he's not violating the bris. Now Rav Ashi wants to quote a braisa to support his position. Kedisanya, as it says in the braisa, it says in Vayikra Aleph, Adam ki yakriv mikem karvel Lashem min abehema. So it opens up with the word mikem, Adam ki yakriv mikem. It means only from a part of Bnei Yisrael do we accept a karbon. Velo kulchem. Mikem, amongst you, but not all of you. There are those who are disqualified. What profile of disqualified? Prat lemumar. So we don't accept a karbon from a mumar. And the braisa continues and darshens the word mikem. And dafka bachem, b'nei Yisrael, chilakti. I will accept karbanos from all of Klal Yisrael, but not from others. V'lo ba'umos. Ba'umos ha'olam, I'm going to be mekabel karbanos. But only with regard to Klal Yisrael, it depends on whether the Jew is a mumar or not a mumar. But in the case of a goy, we're mekabel karbanos from all goyim that send their karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the pasuk says, Ish ish mi beis Yisrael, minager bi Yisrael, asher yakriv karbano. And the Gemara says in Chulin that from the extra word ish, which is written twice, is goy hanodil hakriv karbano v'zech mekabla mimeno. So we will accept a karban of a goy. And in the case of a karban of a goy, we don't differentiate between an idol worshipper and someone else. And the braisa says, Mina Behema, and Lahavi Bnei Adam Adomim LeBehema. Now these are Rishoyim that are similar to Behema. Umikan Omer, Mikabim Karbonis Miposhe Yisrael, Kidei Sheyachzu B'tshuva. So Mina Behema means even from a Behema, meaning even from a person who's like a Behema, he's a Rasha, we will accept his tshuva as a means, his karban as a means to tshuva, kidei sheyachzeru b'tshuva. Chutz min ha-mumar, v'amenaseich yayin, v'amechabel shabbosus b'farhesia. We don't accept a karban, neither from a mumar, nor someone who's guilty of avodah zara, or someone who violates the Shabbos publicly. But we see clearly in this braisa, this is a source for Rav Ashi's breakthrough, that Chil Shabbos is singled out here to generate a psul of Kabbalah's karbo. We won't accept the karbo from a Chil Shabbos because he did it before Hesya, and his status is equivalent to an Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay, then, so let's make a note of where we stopped here. We're up to Ha Gufa Kash on Daf Samachtes Amid Beis. And we're almost up to the mission in the middle of Samach Tes Amud Beis.